have to always be nice.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Tonight is the last in a three-part series that we were doing in August. And the three-part series that we were doing was emotion, thought, and feeling. And we were talking about you earlier, and there she is. Andy wanted you to do yoga in here.
Oh, yeah.
Right now.
So anyway, during August, we were doing the three things. Emotion, thought, and feeling. And the reason why we're talking about those three, they form a trinity. And without feeling, emotion, and thought, your prayer is not going to work. And I use the word prayer. You can use the word treatment. You can just be talking to this thing that we call God or talking to the universe. But without the feeling, how many times have I said, the life of the organism is feelings. See, and we always think it's our thoughts. But really, your life boils down to how are you feeling? And how are you feeling about yourself at every moment? So, you have to feel good about yourself when you're doing treatment work or when you're praying or when you want something. Because you're only ever going to be able to demonstrate at the level of your consciousness or at the level of your feelings and your emotions. Mm-hmm. You cannot demonstrate past what you are feeling about yourself. You see, I put these little cards out months and months ago. And this particular one says, you can attract only that which you first mentally become and feel yourself to be in reality without any doubting. Mentally become and feel yourself to be in reality. How do you feel about yourself? It's always going to boil down to how are you feeling about yourself. And the feelings that we want to feel about ourselves are, I am worthy, I am deserving, I am totally lovable, and that I matter. Those are the four basic things that you want your mind to tell you all the time, instead of your mind telling you something other than that. So we're always going to use those as a platform, as a foundation, so that we can go to other levels in that. But you will not be able to do that, make a demonstration, without first knowing how wonderful you are, how magnificent you are, knowing that you're connected to this thing that we call God, and that you do matter. You have to realize that you truly, truly matter. That this thing called God would be incomplete without you. That God needs you. God appreciates you. And God is always working in, as, and through you. Because there is only ever one life. You see, there is only one life on this plane of action. And that life is the life of God. But we look out and we see all these faces. And we say, how can that be that there's only one? Because we are individualized expressions of that one life. We are individualized expressions of God. That is why we can make this statement. All that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. This idea was taken away from us. And it was taken away from us, I think, in the 4th century. In the 4th century, they took the idea away that we were connected with God. And they caused what was called separation. This teaching is a teaching of unity only. We are all connected, always one. We teach unity here. The world outside teaches separation. It tells you that you are different than other people. It tells you that there are better people, worse people, good people, bad people, rich people, poor people. What I am saying is that we are all one. when I am hurting, you people are hurting. And when you are hurting, I am hurting. And when I can achieve something, you can achieve something. Because we are all living, moving, and having our being, and then you're my God. So we all feel what the other person is feeling. We are all contributing to this collective consciousness. We're all contributing to it. That is why we can make our own reality. That is the reality that we've made out in the world through a collective consciousness. People have come to a conclusion that this is what the world looks like, and this is the way the world operates. That's merely a conclusion from a collective consciousness. It does not have to be that way. You can change that. We can all change that. But we have to start always with ourselves. Always with ourselves. I had a client today, and she said to me, oh, does it come down to that again? She said, I read that in every book. I said, yes. And it's always going to come down to that. You have to learn to love yourself. Excuse me. People know that. They read the book and they think, oh, that sounds good. But you have to put it into practice in your own life. And what your mind does, with like the client today saying, oh, that again, does it come down to that? You know that that is the most...
I'm like, why level so low?
That is the most important thing. But you keep trying to avoid that. And you keep thinking an answer is going to come in a different way. That you're going to be able to achieve what you want in life without first loving yourself. Without first knowing that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Your mind keeps wanting to tell you, oh, well, that sounds very good, but we can do it a different way. And you pick up another self-help book, and you take another class, and you just keep doing that and avoiding the issue. Avoiding the issue. Do you know that many times when I say to somebody, you know you're completely lovable, they start to cry because they have never heard that. And it has never dawned on them. That has never dawned on them. So you have to do it for yourself. So if you learned those four items, deserving, worthy, totally lovable, and that you matter, your whole life is going to change, and you can stop reading every book that comes out. Because everything is going to boil down to that. It's going to boil down to self-love. What are you thinking about yourself? Henry David Thoreau said, a man becomes what he thinks about all day long. So, what thoughts are you thinking about yourself? Ernest Holmes, who wrote Science of Mind, said the whole idea of this teaching is to learn to think the thoughts that you want to think and feel the feelings that you want to feel. And that is a great big thing because it's going to boil down to your feelings, your emotions, and then your thoughts. What am I thinking about myself and how am I feeling about myself? You see, if you start out to do a prayer and you're not feeling good about yourself, it has no energy behind it whatsoever. You have to first sit down and clear your mind. And you have to start forgiving yourself, forgiving everybody else. And go to that place inside of you that is nothing but total love. And then start the process. Then start the process. Across the board, it's going to work for you. So in August, what I wanted to be able to do for each and every one of you was to tell you about the thought, the emotion, and the feeling, so that you can use this technology so that you can access this thing that we call God. And to be able to do that, you can look at God in a whole new and different way. You can look at God as a divine matrix. You can look at God as a big computer. You see, you can look at God as anything you want. God doesn't care. God is far and above that. You see, God is always going to be beyond thoughts and words. That is why the concept is so difficult for people to understand. Because we want to take something that's infinite and we want to make it finite. And you cannot do that. You cannot do that. So think of that when you sit down to do treatment work, when you sit down to do prayer. You are not going to ever bring the infinite down to the finite. But you can take the finite to the infinite. And people want to pull God down. You cannot do that. You cannot do that. If you could pull God down, we wouldn't have the mess we have out there in the world. We wouldn't have that. But if you could lift yourself up to that consciousness, to where you start to think God thoughts after it, where you start to act like angels yourselves, then things change for you. Then things change for you. So, regardless, it is always going to boil down to self-love. And it is going to boil down to, am I worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. And with that, let's do the matter game. Rush, you don't know this. All right, are you ready?
You ready?
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
Yay!
I do. Woo!
Now, for the new people, I know that sounds very silly to you. But because feelings are the life of the organism, you got a feeling when you did that, and you got a good feeling. Even though you laughed, and if you think it's funny, there's a good feeling goes through you, doesn't there? Yes. And that's what you want to do with yourself all the time. You're the one that's generating the feelings that are going through your body. Many people think that they'll wait till they feel happy. But if you're going to wait till you feel happy, you're going to wait a long time. You're going to wait a long time. You have to make yourself happy. You have to make yourself everything that you want. Things just don't happen to you. I had a friend, in effect, I told that story, so I'll tell it to the new people. I had a friend, Alice Toomey was her name. Alice Toomey was from Brooklyn. Her and her husband had an Irish pub in Brooklyn. And she had, I think, 11 children. After he died, she became a lesbian. And she took up with a leather group of lesbians and rode motorcycles. After that phase of her life, she became a house mother at Barnard College. They loved her. I loved Alice. She was a fabulous person. She said this to me, Dallas, nothing is happening to you. You are the happening. You are the happening. Remember that. Nothing is happening to you. You are the happening. It's your interpretation of what is going on. It's your interpretation always of what is going on in your life. But feelings are always going to be the life of the organism. So learn to feel more. You know, we are afraid of our feelings. We have been taught to be afraid of our feelings. When we were children, our parents didn't like us to feel different things. So they either protected us from it. In my particular case, I remember my parents would say to me, "How do you feel, Dallas?" And I would tell them how I would feel. And they would say, "No, you don't." No, you don't. So after a while, I just stopped feeling. I thought, what was the sense of it? I must not know how to feel. I must not be correct. So go back and learn to feel and learn to trust your feelings. Learn to trust your feelings. They're coming from a very special place inside of you. And feelings do not lie. You see, feelings come from the heart. And the heart never lies to you. Thoughts come from the mind, and thoughts lie to you all the time. Thoughts lie to you all the time. Think how many thoughts you've had today that were out and out lies. If you had one thought today that said you can't do something, you're not going to get something, this isn't going to happen, I can't do it, that's a lie. That's a lie. And your mind loves to lie to you. Don't allow your mind to do that to you. You have to learn to be able to listen to your mind, to be able to see those thoughts. Just put them out in front of you, like you're reading a computer screen. And look at them and say, "Well, that's horrible. I don't want that one. I don't want that one." Just keep pressing the delete button till you get the thought that you want. But we stop. We stop and we say, "Oh, that must be true about me." It is never true about you. It is never true about you. So we learn to think the thoughts that we want to think. It requires discipline and it requires effort. Because we're so used to doing it one way. The mind will always take the route of least resistance. And it will always bring up the same thing again until you correct it. Mm-hmm. I told this story many times. Years ago, when my alarm clock would go off, my mind would say, "Dallas, get out of bed. You're nothing but a lazy lounge lizard. You're never going to make anything of yourself. You're never going to amount to anything. Now get up, you bum." And I thought, my goodness, this must be true. This must be true. Now when the alarm clock goes off, my mind says, "Good morning, Dallas. You're going to have a wonderful day. You are going to create a wonderful day for yourself." Then I get out of bed. I do three affirmations always before I get out of bed. Then I get out of bed and my day goes fine. But I had to train my mind. I had to train my mind so that it would be able to do that. Now, I'll give you a quick idea of the mind so that you can get it. First of all, for new people that are here, you have to realize that you are not your mind. Most people realize that not their bodies. But they think that their mind. You are not your mind and you are not your thinking. You are not that at all. The same as you're not your body. You're much more than that. So you can control your mind and you can control your thinking. But you have to see what you're thinking first. And you have to stop believing it. Remember Mary Baker Eddy? Argue with your mind like a lawyer in front of the judge. And make sure that you win every time. So, here's a quick thing about the mind. We'll do the morning, the alarm clock goes off. The mind, here's the mind. Get up, Dallas. You're nothing but a rotten, lazy lounge lizard. You're never going to make anything out of yourself. You're nothing. Now, the last thing the mind says to you is, I was never here. And you go, oh my, I thought that must be true. My mind wouldn't lie to me. I must be a lazy lounge lizard. The mind lied to you. I got up every morning in my life and went to work. I still get up at 6 o'clock every morning. You know, I don't lounge around. Do I look like a lounge lizard? No. But my mind wants to convince me. My mind wanted to convince me that that's who I was. So what has your mind convinced you of who you are and what you are? You see? You have to do that. You have to see where your mind is taking you and what is it doing for you. Andy has to get up every morning and say, I'm an actor. He has to say that to himself. You say, you have to program yourself. You have to do that. Al, a writer, a musician, a composer, everyone, you have to tell yourself who you are. And then your mind will start to accept that. And you will become that. That's the whole idea of acting as if. Acting as if. Now, while we're on this subject, this acting as if, when you do any prayer, and I don't care, you can call it anything you want, prayer, treatment, whatever. And there are different modes. The one that we're studying right now is called the lost mode of prayer. And it was developed 500 years before the birth of Christ by people called the Essenes. Mm-hmm. And they were able to pray and use this technology to manifest what they want in their lives. And then when Christianity came in, people thought, well, this is a little bit too difficult. And if people could do this on their own, there go the priests right out the window. So we can't have that. And how are we going to control the people if they can do it for themselves? So we better just rip these things out and replace them with something else. So, I've asked this question at the beginning, 3 weeks ago. Everyone here believes in God, or you wouldn't be here. But if you believe in God, you must also be able to use God. And you must be able to use God to bring into your life what you want. Otherwise, a God makes no sense whatsoever. And if you're not getting what you want in your life, it's because your God, the one that you have made up in your mind, is too small. And you must kick that God out and get a bigger, better God. But it makes no sense to go through life saying, I believe in God, and suffering in any way, shape, or form. God is not in the suffering business. Humans are in the suffering business. But if you know that you're connected with this power, there is no need for suffering whatsoever. There's no need for suffering. There's no need for placating God. If you want something, ask God straight out. This is what I want. Most people do not get what they want in life because they, first of all, never ask for it. And second, they're never clear on exactly what they want. Ask for exactly what you want and be clear on what you want. Now, I have a young fellow that I do consultations with in Chicago. And, of course, as soon as I mention this, because he's into metaphysics, you see. And this is not a metaphysical thing, but it's not from science of mind. I'm almost sure it's from an organization called Unity. And the word that sticks in him every time, they can't get over, is outlining. And has anyone heard of that outlining? You've heard it in your different things. Drop that word. Forget about outlining.
What is it?
Outlining, you have to be exact what you want. Mm. And then you allow God to be the Ways and Means Committee and to figure the whole thing out for you. Outlining means I must have the house at 304 Green Street. That is outlining. As soon as you outline, you have shut in God's power and saying it must only come in this direction. It must only come this way. When you're doing any of that work, you have to let God do it because God knows how to do it better than we do. So you turn it over to God after, but you have to be exact. Being exact is not outlining. That's another little trick of the mind. It likes to say, oh, well, now I'm outlining, so I won't get what I want. You say, don't be exact. You have to remember that you're talking to intelligence, and you must talk to it intelligently. So you talk to God by saying, this is what I want. I have no idea how to get it, but I know you do. So do it for me. Remember, Fun and Entertainment Committee. God is Ways and Means. God is Ways and Means. Once you know that, the whole thing comes into play. So, in order to use this technology, which is called the Lost Mode of Prayer, you start with yourself always. You know that you're totally worthy, lovable, deserving, and that you matter. Okay, then, when you're doing your treatment, you have to know that it's already done. And you have to come from the place that it's already done. And you have to find that feeling. How will I feel when this is done? And you have to feel that way. How fulfilled, how happy, how glad, how whatever your feeling is, you have to feel it. Then the underlying emotion, remember there are only ever two emotions, love and fear. And here you have a choice. Where do I want to come from? Love, or do I want to come from fear? Well, if I would be you, I would pick love. It's so much easier to live with than fear, you see. But you have that freedom. You may pick fear. A lot of people pick fear. And they go through their whole life being fearful. Being fearful. Now, if there is only one life, and that is the life of God, where is the fear? Where is the fear? You see, you have nothing to fear. You have nothing to fear, and you have no one to fear. Because it's all one. It's all one. So you do your prayer work, your treatment work, and then you let it go. But you live at that level of demonstration, meaning you live in that feeling. When I say you live in that level of your demonstration, people rush out and they spend $1 million that they don't have. That is not what I am saying. I am saying you must live at the level of your demonstration with your feelings. With your feelings. Everyone wants money. By the way, for the new people, the title of this class is Prosperity and Abundance, Including Money. And we're very interested in money. And everyone should be interested in money because money is freedom. Money is freedom. So we have to know that. We have to use that all the time. But what happens is, money is always going to be a byproduct Money is the byproduct. You see, money is the side effect that you're getting. You see, so many people come to this metaphysical class and they say to me, oh, Dallas, you teach positive thinking. No, I do not teach positive thinking. I think it's wonderful when people think positively, but I do not teach positive thinking. When you start to think positively, it's a byproduct of this class. It's the side effect of this class, because you cannot stay in metaphysics and not become positive. But that is not the teaching. And many people say, oh yeah, metaphysics, that's that positive way of thinking. It is not. Metaphysics is a God-oriented teaching. We are completely oriented in God. And that's because that is the only life there is. That's the only power there is. That's the only intelligence there is. That's the only thing there is. So you have to be interested in God. Not the God of your fathers and not the God of most people who you think is an old man in the sky somewhere. That is not the God that we are talking about. First of all, God has no form whatsoever. God is always going to be formless. God is formless. But God takes many forms. God is formless. But God takes many forms. You see? So what you have to know is the Creator and the creation are one and the same thing. You were created by God. Who else what else could have done it? What else could have done it? You see? So you are created by God. So you have to be creative yourself. And you have to be able to create. One of the things that they did not take out in the Bible is a little thing, know that ye are demigods. That's still in the Bible, people. They forgot to ink that out. The other thing that they forgot to ink out when they started all the separation was, and they let it in because they contributed to one of the master teachers, Jesus, who said, the kingdom of heaven is within. The kingdom of heaven is within. Everything is inside of you. What does that mean? Kingdom of heaven. Now, wouldn't you really be in heaven if you knew that you were worthy, deserving, totally level one, that you matter in every fiber and being inside of you? Every little cell knew that. Everything knew that. Wouldn't you immediately be in heaven? The kingdom of heaven is inside. It's always going to be inside. Life is always going to be an inside job. We're always looking on the outside. Look on the inside. Look at your feelings. How am I feeling about myself? Don't worry about other people. You can be concerned for them. You cannot make anybody feel better unless they want to feel better. You see, you cannot do that. So give that up. Make yourself happy. Fulfill yourself. Be an example to other people. And then you can raise them up. You can raise them up with you. But till then, you can't. But think of that. The kingdom of heaven is within. Not outside anywhere. And once you know that, your mind stops all that chatter. Yes?
I'm confused about the mechanics of asking for what you want.
Yes.
You were saying that one needs to be specific but not exact, I think was the kind of two different sentences, but that was the gist I got from it. Sort of like, and I'm totally paraphrasing, but it was like you were saying, well, I want a house on a hill with a pool, but I shouldn't say that I want it to be a certain address.
Because the house that you want, you can always say, I want a house on a hill with a swimming pool, and I want this, and I want that, and I want all these things in it. But you can't say, I want that house at 204 Green Street, mm-hmm. because that house at 204 Green Street may belong to somebody else. Now, I told this years ago in a class, and the young man said, well, couldn't we pray? And maybe those people would die in that house. And then that house would be ours. I said, no, it doesn't work that way. That's not the way. It's everything that we do is always for the best of all those concerned. Always for the best of all those concerned. Now, why I'm on that subject, many people say, well, God, you know, can't this be instant? Can't this do da 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 da? Now, here's the way I always look at this. It may take a little time for something to come into your life that you want, because it has to be the best for all those concerned. Mm-hmm. So here you pray to this thing that we call God. Now God has to make sure that what you want is for the best of everybody concerned on the whole planet. So little things have to be delicately turned and tuned so that you can have what you want without disturbing and upsetting something else. You see, we live in a very delicate world. With the gravity, if I get up from this chair and walk to that side of the room, gravity must make a change. Must make a change. If everyone went in one direction, the world would keep spinning. Every time we do something, it's such a delicate balance that things have to be put back, you see. So when you're doing a demonstration, think of that. Now, does that help you? Be as specific as you want, as exact as you want, but you cannot say that particular thing. You say, you're looking for a relationship. You name all the things that you want in your relationship, in that person. Mm-hmm. But you can't have Russ because he belongs to somebody else. You see? But you can have somebody with all Russ's qualities. Because you're only ever going for the qualities, people, and you're only ever going for the feeling. How is that person making me feel? And how do I feel when I'm around that person? You see? We fall for the idea of somebody is cosmetically beautiful, but they're a cosmic mess. You see, get somebody that has themselves worked out. You see, that's how it's done. That's how it's done. Okay, let's look at this piece of paper on feelings. Dan, are you clear now?
Yeah.
Okay. Feelings may exist only in the presence of thought and emotion, for it represents the union of the two. Feelings are always going to follow thought. Many people think that feelings just come, but you cannot have a feeling before you have a thought. And sometimes it happens so quickly that you think that you're just having the feeling. You thought something first, and then it happens. So thought and emotion, it represents the union of the two, makes a feeling. What am I thinking? And what is the emotion behind that? Mm-hmm. What is that underlying emotion? When we feel, we experience the desire of our emotion merged with the imagination of our thoughts. With the imagination of our thoughts. What do we know about imagination, people?
It's the strongest tool in our toolbox.
Yes.
It's the greatest, strongest, biggest tool you have in your toolbox. And you came completely equipped to this plane of action with imagination. And it was one of the other little items that people love to take away from you. They love to take that one away from you. Use your imagination. It's a God-given gift. Feeling is the key to prayer. Whoa, ho, ho. As it is our feeling world to which creation responds. You see that? Mm-hmm. Creation responds to your feelings, not to your thoughts, but to your feelings. So how are you feeling? And creation, meaning God, will respond to that. As we attract or repel the people, situations, and conditions that we find in our experience, we may look to our feelings to understand why. Always. Don't you feel good around some people and you don't feel good around other people, and don't you stay away from those people? It's done with feelings. It's not done with thought. To have a feeling, by definition, we must first have both an underlying thought and an emotion. The challenge in developing our highest levels of personal mastery is to recognize what thoughts and emotions are represented as our feelings. What thoughts and emotions are represented by your feelings? Don't be afraid of your feelings. Use your feelings. You must use your feelings when you compose. You must use it, and you use your feelings. And you have to use your feelings when you act. So you know how important they are. So now you have to put them in. How am I feeling about this? How am I feeling about this? So let's go back a moment and look at money. Everyone wants money. How are you feeling about money? What is the underlying emotion you have about money? Is I love money or I fear money? I feel good about money. Ooh, I'm a little nervous about money. I never understood that. Ooh, can't even balance my checkbook. Now you're going to sit down and say, God, give me money. You think you're going to get it?
No.
No, you're not going to get it. You say, get your emotion working. Get your feeling working. Get your thought working. Get the three of them. Remember, it's a trinity. Get the three of them working. And then the money will come to you. Money is very seldom attracted to people who don't like themselves.
Right.
Just stays away from people who don't like themselves. How many times have you heard me say, the more you love yourself, the more comes into your life?
Right.
The more comes into your life. Question?
Can I give you an example of that? Because this is really good. Or no?
See the monitor. If it's short,
real quick,
sweet.
Okay, very short. Well, that's okay. I don't have to. I'm
no, go ahead. No,
I don't
we
know the rules.
We Sorry. Have fun. Come on.
That's very true. When I ran my business, when I finally figured out what my secretarial service was worth, I made scads of money because I was not worried about charging that. I don't have a clue right now really what I'm worth. And the feeling about money for me is I want to make sure that I'm not overcharging. I want to make sure that I really value what I'm doing correctly. And I swear to you, that was just very cool. Yeah, very cool. Very cool. It's like, I don't have a clue what I'm worth.
But you better get a clue of what you're worth. Otherwise, you're worthless.
Exactly.
You're saying, always know how much you are worth. And
in terms of money.
Don't be afraid that you're charging too much.
Mm-hmm.
You see, people always, right. Especially people in their own businesses,
right.
Are afraid, oh, I can't charge that much. Oh, I feel bad about charging that much. Why would you feel bad about charging that much, you see? Well, people may not come. There are enough people out there with the money that will pay that. So go for the people that have the money. When I was in the real estate business, I had to convince people that it was just as easy to sell a $40,000 home as it was to sell a $1 million home. And they would always go, well, no, I'll sell the 40. It's easier to sell the... The same paperwork. It's the exact same paperwork. There's no difference, is there? There is no difference. And they make that difference in their head because they don't think they're worth the $1 million home. They don't think they're worth that commission. So they stay down here at the $40,000 level. Don't do that to yourselves. Know exactly what you're worth and charge it. With a smile on your face and say, this is what I'm worth. Now, everybody has knowledge. And if you're in a particular field, you have knowledge. People must pay you for that knowledge. Quick story. A man was trying to fix his furnace. He could not get it fixed. So he finally called in an expert. And the expert looked at the furnace, took a hammer out of his satchel, hit the furnace, and it started. And the man said, "Oh, isn't that wonderful? How much do I owe you?" $350. The guy said, $350? All you did was tap it with a hammer. He said, "Yes, but I knew where to tap
it."
The other man was tapping all day long. He didn't know where to tap it. Know what you're worth. Know what you're worth. And charge for it. Never give yourself away. You were given a gift. Whatever that gift was, you cannot give it away. If you give your gift away, if you give your livelihood away, what do you think the universe is going to do? It's not going to give you anything. Because the universe only matches what you're doing with yourself. You see? The universe just matches what you're thinking and what you're feeling. So learn to feel wealthy. Learn to think wealthy. And have that underlying emotion going on of love. For yourself first. Once you get yourself underway, then you have time to love somebody else. Till then, you don't have time to love somebody else because you cannot love anybody else till you learn to love yourself. Your mind may want to tell you that because it says, look, that person loves me. So if I get into a relationship with that person, their love will be good for both of us. Well, those relationships never work because you don't love yourself. Well, if you don't love yourself, there is no way you can love somebody else because you don't know what love is. So you have to love yourself. So like the lady this afternoon, don't tell me it comes down to that again. Absolutely. And it's always going to come down to self-love. Always going to come down to that. And not in that arrogant way. You have to know what you're worth. You have to appreciate yourself. You have to love yourself. And you have to have that feeling inside of you that you are wonderful and special. You see? Then, anyone you can look out in the world, as soon as you become very special, people will pay anything to see you. People will pay. Just because, that person thinks they're special. That person's special. I'll pay. I'll pay $1,000 to see that person. And you've seen this happen. So know what you're worth. And know that you're worth a great deal. That was the other thing that was taken away from humans. The idea that you're worth anything. Because if they could keep you worthless, they could control you. Know that you're worth everything. And that what you want is all right. If you have a desire in your heart, that desire comes from this thing that we call God. This thing that we call God is not a cruel God. It's a loving God. It's a giving God. And if you have a desire in your heart, you can have that desire manifest itself. Because this thing called God does not give you an ice cream cone. And then before you're allowed to take a lick, rips it out of your hand and says, ha, ha, ha. you see? People are afraid of their heart's desires. Don't be afraid of them. They're God-given things to you. So find that heart's desire. Find what you love in life. Your work, the work that you love, is the love that you make manifest in this world. That's how you love in this world, by finding the work that you love. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.